Welcome to Unity of Fairfax, a positive path for spiritual living and spiritual center for education, practice, and service in Northern Virginia. We hope you find inspiration in this week's message.
To feel Christmassy this season. I mean, it's this week, it's right around the corner, and it does seem and has seemed to take a lot of effort to feel Christmassy this year, hasn't it? I mean, the clothes help, of course, and what's more Christmas than an ugly sweater or a tacky Christmas suit? But it is seeming to take a lot of effort to feel the reality of the beloved community this year. It really hit home for me a few days ago while we were binge-watching the holiday edition of The Great British Baking Show. One of my favorite shows. Always happy, always fun. And we get to spend half the time trying to figure out what they were actually saying in a language that apparently we speak fluently. But I'm reminded of the Winston Churchill quote when he described the United States and America as two countries divided by a common language. Anyway, I digress. So what got me was at the end of each one of these shows, the baking champion is named and the other contestants and their families and everybody is gathered and they're hugging and they're celebrating and they're speaking right into each other's faces less than 6 feet apart and they're crowded around and the spaces are tight and I felt really two very conflicted feelings. One is that is grief, because that's not our common experience right now. And I miss that. I miss the parties, I miss the hugging, I miss the talking in confined spaces and even singing together at the same microphone. And I know it's a wise decision that we're not doing that. So I'm also grateful for divine wisdom that allows us to know what we can do to bring this pandemic experience to a close. And by working together, that's what's happening. Not happening as quickly as I would like, but it is very wise for us to follow the precautions of the scientists and the doctors so that we can remain healthy and gather again next year and share the same mic and sing and do all those wonderful things. The other feeling I felt, oddly enough, was joy. It was muted, but it was there. And though it may seem crazy to say that we can feel two conflicting feelings at the same time, it is the reality. In the Hebrew scriptures in Nehemiah chapter 8, there is a line, a famous line, where the prophet says, "Go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet wine, and send portions of them to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord, and do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." You see, Nehemiah was a prophet who had the arduous task of inspiring a deflated people. And his reminder is as powerful to us today as it was back in his time. And he also highlights the importance of sharing our good with others. The joy of the Lord, we might say, is the joy of knowing our oneness with the creative power of the universe. And when we know that oneness, when we know intimately that connection to the divine, we do indeed find strength, the strength to do what is ours to do. Now, the caution here is not to confuse the words happiness with joy, even though we often use them synonymously. I think of happiness as a temporary state, usually caused by some external gift, event rather, such as receiving a gift or a compliment for a job well done. You feel happy for a time, but then it passes. Charles Fillmore, co-founder of the Unity Movement, said this, "Joy and gladness are strength-giving, especially if the mind is fixed on the things of spirit." When the mind is fixed on the things of spirit, we realize our constant unbroken connection to that same spirit, to that power that resides within us and through us and expresses as us. And the joy comes from knowing that therefore there is always a way through any difficulty. There is always a way to make the good times brighter. There is always a way through the challenges of the moment. And it allows us to stay in a bit of a state of optimism, even if we're feeling sad watching the holiday edition of the Great British Baking Show. Well, we are indeed celebrating that Advent theme of joy today, and I have a couple special guests who have agreed to come and join me because they truly get what joy is. Now, I had to pull some major strings to make this happen, so you can thank me later, but I want to introduce my first guest, who is none other than Joy Solstice. Come on up, Joy.
Oh, Reverend Russ, it's so great to see you. Look how festive you are, too.
I'm feeling, well, you're festive yourself, thank you for joining us. I know this is your busy season, so thanks for making the effort to get here to Unity of Fairfax.
Well, I was just so happy to come.
Well, and share a socially distanced visit with me today.
Yes.
So tell me, if you don't mind, a little bit about yourself. Oh, yeah, since we're 6 feet apart, feel free to remove the mask and just don't sing. That's the only thing I ask. Not that you're not a good singer. It just wouldn't be appropriate if you were singing at me.
I do understand. So normally, my uncle, old son, comes to visit you here.
Yeah, he does.
But this year, he wanted to stay down in Aruba, where the sun is a little brighter. They felt he needed his strength down there. So he asked me to come and play.
Well, and
place.
It's good to have vitamin D.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, excellent. So tomorrow is your special day. It is your big day. I saw on my calendar that the winter solstice begins at 5:02 a.m. on Monday, December 21st. So what exactly is the winter solstice?
It's an astronomical moment when the sun reaches the Tropic of Capricorn. We have our shortest days and longest nights of the year in the Northern Hemisphere in terms of daylight. Regardless of what the weather is doing outside your window, the solstice marks the official start of winter.
Well, there you have it. So what does the word solstice itself actually mean?
The term solstice comes from the Latin words sol, which means sun, and sestris, this stands for still, because during the solstice, the angle between the sun's rays and the plane of the Earth's equator, called declination, appears to stand still. Upon the winter solstice, the sun appears at its lowest in the sky, and its noontime elevation seems to stay the same for several days before and after this day. The sun's gradual decrease in the sky reverses upon the winter solstice, marking what many cultures believe to be the rebirth of the sun as the hours of the daylight become longer.
Well, amen. As a former resident of the Sunshine State, I can tell you I am looking forward to tomorrow morning at 5:02 a.m. when the solstice begins. So apparently this has been going on for a very long time. What can you tell us about winter solstice celebrations?
Well, the events go back between 11,000 and 10,000 BC and continuing today into over 250 countries worldwide. A mystical, sacred event to honor the sun for standing still and then turning to the sky to make the days longer, warm the planet, and bring new growth to feed the inhabitants. A great celebration by the pagans is surely should encourage the sun to return again next year.
Well, amen. And we have a core value of inclusivity, as you know, here at Unity of Fairfax. So we welcome pagans, too. But so speaking of religion and faith, what can you tell us about the connection between the winter solstice and Christmas?
In the year 46 BCE, Julius Caesar devised a calendar that placed the winter solstice on December 25th. Several centuries later, Christianity celebrated the birth of Christ, Christmas, on Three Kings Day, January 6th. Then after Emperor Constantine's conversion to Christianity in the 4th century, Christmas was moved to December 25th to coincide with the winter solstice, thus combining the population celebration into one celebration. Both the sun worshippers and the Christians saw the solstice birthday as her tradition from darkness to light. Christ conquered the darkness, as did the sun. Since the theme was similar, the traditions of one blended well with the other. It would be years later that the date and time of the solstice would be varying between December 20th and 23rd, based on science, mind you, and mathematics.
Oh, science, schmience. Who needs science?
Stay healthy.
Well, okay, if you say so. Hey, speaking of, so next year we will have our big winter solstice celebration. But speaking of science, we decided it was a little smarter this year to maybe have a special visit from you and call it a solstice celebration.
Yes. Well, one of the things that I know that you've enjoyed in previous years is the bonfire out in the parking lot. So I would hope for those that can is to build a bonfire and go out and enjoy the dancing flames and remember the times that you shared together. And if you have a bell, ring the bell for those that you love.
All right. That is a great way to celebrate the solstice. Now, I did think maybe about making a tequila sunrise first thing in the morning.
Yes, I was going to bring one for you and I, but I felt better of it. Maybe we should celebrate at home.
This is a church service after all.
Yes.
That really doesn't count as communion, does it?
But I know it will taste good.
Well, that's a different talk for a different day. Hey, is there anything else you would like to share with us? I know you've got a lot of things you need to be doing to get ready, but any parting words of wisdom?
Well, I just feel because so many of us can't be together this year that if all the families agree to go outside on Christmas Eve and look to the moon and say a prayer and know that next year that you'll be together again safely.
Amen. That's a beautiful sentiment. Let's give thanks to Joy Solstice for joining us today. And I look forward to joining you and the other pagans and whoever else might be celebrating at 5:02 tomorrow morning.
Thank you, Reverend. So namaste.
Namaste. So I'm really excited about my next guest. I know that you'll be really excited too, because getting him on such late notice, it was a darn near impossibility. But as we say around here, with God, all things are possible. So friends, please welcome my next special guest, Santa Claus.
Hello, hello, hello. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Christmas. Merry Christmas.
It is wonderful to see you. Take your mask off and stay a while, Santa. We're socially distanced at a good pit clip so that we can have a nice conversation and
share the
joy of the season. So, oh my gosh, how are you, Santa?
Oh, I'm just fine. I had a little trouble getting here. Didn't have much snow outside and my sled needed, but I'm okay. I'm okay.
Well, I was wondering about that. I heard the clatter up on the roof, and so I figured the matter was that Santa had come, and so I'm so glad you could make it and on such short notice. This is really special.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, a lot of people aren't getting to travel. I guess you're an exception to the rule.
Well, yes. Well, you see, I've been doing this a long time. And I have roots all over the world, as you know. So it's different, but it's not impossible. I've done it this year, and I'll do it again next year.
Well, I think probably owing to your position, you're not limited to the travel restrictions that the rest of us are.
That's right, right. I can't go through airports.
And why would you?
Well, people, when you fly, they like to control who flies. But as you know, on my special day, nobody flies but Santa.
Well, true that, Santa. So how is the impact, or what is the impact of the coronavirus in the North Pole? How are the elves handling it?
Well, we all decided to participate in the trials, the vaccine trials, and obviously we participated, and none of us ever got sick, so we've done quite well. So we were very fortunate that we could help.
Well, now, is it true that the federal government and a lot of world governments have consulted with you for distribution of the vaccine owing to your expertise at moving a lot of cargo in a short period of time?
That is true. As you know, Santa has a very large distribution network, and he's been at it a long time.
Well, I would say so. So that just really warms my heart. I think that's the gift we're all hoping to get, but kind of like a PlayStation 5, not everyone's going to get it in time for Christmas.
Right, right.
Hey, so what about the reindeer? What's their experience with the pandemic?
Oh, they have herd immunity.
Oh, well, I guess it just comes to, stands to reason. I should have seen that one coming. So is everybody, everybody's prepared and you've really navigated these travel restrictions. So let me ask you a little more important question, because so much of Christmas is about what can I get and what can I get. But what would you, Santa, like for everyone to get for Christmas? I mean, they're always coming to you with their lists. If you put a list together for all the boys and girls and the adult children who come see you, what would you want them all to receive for Christmas?
Well, I don't know what they could maybe receive, but I really like to know what they could give. They could give a little kindness to everyone around. They could give kindness to the neighbors and people they don't always interact with. So show kindness throughout, and that would be a good gift for Santa Claus.
Absolutely. And what would you say to them to take that spirit of kindness going forward past Christmas? What can they do to keep the spirit that you and Mrs. Claus keep alive at the North Pole year-round? What would you want people to do the rest of the year past Christmas Day?
I think they should volunteer to help the community, either work at the food kitchens, Or to work for the nonprofits who distribute food. There's so many good people out there doing good things, and they need help. They just need a hand. So give that hand, and children can do this. Everyone can do this if they want to.
Yeah, and that's so important to make sure that they want to create that spirit of giving, because I take it that since you've been doing this for so long, how do you feel when you give all the presents and gifts to everybody?
You know, when you give a gift, you feel good. It makes you feel good. Not only the person receiving it, but the person giving it feels good. He's uplifted, really. I recommend it for everyone. Give as many gifts as you can.
All right. There was just such a joy when you're around Santa. I just felt it as the whole energy of the place was changing as your sleigh was coming closer. You know, there are just a couple of us in the building at any given moment. And we just felt like our hearts grew 10 sizes too big. So I have a more personal question, and I don't know. I'm a pretty open book. Which list am I on this year, the naughty list or the nice list?
You've been pretty good, Russ, but there's some things I need to talk to you about after this session is over, though.
So am I taking it I'm on the nice list?
Yeah, Santa loves everyone.
Oh, man, there's some questions we just should not ask in public. Hey, food. So Christmas is food season, and we've basically been in food season since March, all things considered. And I know that a lot of people are on special diets. There's gluten-free, vegan, vegetarian, dairy-free, wheat-free, nut-free, of course. And I know that a lot of people like to leave you snacks. Is this a problem for you, or how do you navigate the snack part of Christmas?
I eat some of the snacks, but I have to admit that I have to stuff a lot of them in my pocket. And as I make my other visits, I'll drop off snacks along with some toys. Santa's not known for passing out snacks, but that's what I do.
Well, it kind of gets back to your point about participating in food drives and food kitchens.
Yes.
So whatever comes your way that you're not going to use, then share.
Yes. Sharing is very important.
You know, I didn't know that about you with the food sharing. So this is really an eye-opening experience to have that conversation with you today. I know you're really busy, so I don't want to take too much of your time. Is there anything else that you would want our congregation and people to know this holiday season that just from your heart, or is there any sage or wise advice you'd like to give?
Well, you know, Santa's always about having people to smile, making children happy, and we should continue that all year round, not just during the time when Santa's active, but all year round we should try to bring smiles to not only children, but to adults. And no one should be hungry, cold, or afraid.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Santa, for sharing with that. And before Santa goes today, I would just like to share a few closing thoughts based on our experience with our special guest today. Joy Solstice shared with us about the importance of being with the ones you love and acknowledging the grace and the gifts of the season. And Santa is reminding us that Christmas is really a consciousness. It's a state of mind of giving kindness and generosity and sharing. This particular year has really challenged us to find new ways and inventive ways and innovative ways to live the truth we know of being love in action, of sharing faith and wisdom and joy and love and peace and all these things. So as we bring this time of our service to a close, I invite you to join me in a moment of prayer. We just close our eyes and give thanks. We give thanks for joy. We give thanks for this joy that is ever present with us, as close as our own hearts. We affirm and know that this week, this special week of Christmas and the solstice, invites us to let our light shine, let our love shine, so that together we may truly create a world that works for everyone. A beloved community where everyone is a part and no one is in need, for we have all cared for one another. And so it is, and so we let it be. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for tuning into Unity of Fairfax podcast. You're welcome to join us live in Oakton, Virginia, every Sunday at 9 and 11 a.m., or view our live stream services from our website at unityoffairfax.org. We appreciate your donations to support this podcast to make our message of positive, practical spirituality more accessible to all. See you next time.